Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome into Brewcast from Mason Brew on the SB Nation Podcast Network. Here with you on Monday night, October 24th, headed into Tuesday, October 25th, and it is Michigan State Week. Luke Yardy here, joined by Trevor Woods. We're going to be teeing it up for you here today with the battle for the Paul Bunyan Trophy coming to Ann Arbor, and very much looking forward to the game. Also, we had pretty much James Franklin over the weekend and Jim Harbaugh give us some free content with his clapback here today. We're going to be getting into it all this week. Very much looking forward to a great show. Trevor, what is up, man? Appreciate you coming in and being a part of the show here for the next couple of weeks with Scotty away on vacation.
Yeah, he's living the big life in Paris, but I'm doing good, man. And as you know, Michigan coming off a bye week, but it really hasn't even felt like a bye week. The Michigan team, they practiced last week. It pretty much feels like Hate Week, Michigan State Week, started a week ago.
Yeah.
So we're well into it at this point, but we're going to keep on chugging along till game day.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, this is, I think, what did I see? This is the first time that it's ever happened that both these teams are going to be coming off a bye week headed into the game.
Yeah, so that's nice to see. There can't be any excuses in that regard. Level playing field, same amount of preparation time, same amount of time for these players to heal mentally and physically. So nobody can be using any excuses come Sunday morning after the night game transpires.
Yeah, man, looking forward to it. I did want to touch a little bit, though, real quick, going back to the last game that Michigan played, an absolute romping of Penn State, and I don't even know if the final score of 41-17 really did it justice here, but we had the I guess, quote-unquote, incident in the tunnel, similar to what we saw with Michigan-Ohio State a year ago, and apparently James Franklin is still talking about it a little bit. You know, he had mentioned this week wanting to do away with the one tunnel system at Michigan Stadium, but Jim Harbaugh had himself something to say about it here today, which I was kind of surprised to see old Jim kind of come back at the press conference today.
Exactly. Last week, James Franklin, he was asked about the brouhaha in the tunnel, and Franklin kind of deflected the criticism at Michigan, saying that they were doing a lot of talking, but he was also saying that he was trying to get his team into his locker room. A video came out where Franklin was not in the middle of the ruckus. He was all the way at the very end of the tunnel, not really commanding his team whatsoever. It looked like he had some choice words for somebody on Michigan staff, a little bit of expletives thrown in there. So the video doesn't really line up to what Franklin said. And that was already a mistake by Franklin there. Don't turn a one-day story into a week-long story. And now it's going to be something that neither fan base forgets, because Harbaugh had quite the clapback today. He said he had bigger fish to fry than Franklin's opinion. But then he went a little more nuclear after that. He said it seemed like a sophomore ploy to try to keep Michigan from their locker room. Harbaugh said that Franklin looked like the ringleader of the whole thing. And then he finished it with saying that he has bigger fish to fry than to worry about that kind of whining. So Michigan, they beat Penn State on the field 41-17. And today, Harbaugh gave Franklin another loss.
Oh, my God, man. The one where he pretty much just said James Franklin was the ringleader of it all, that one was when I was like, ooh, baby, that was that's the old Jim, not being afraid to call somebody out. You know what I'm saying? I love to see that fired up. And, you know, because I'm personally of the thinking that James Franklin is a pretty big fraud myself. So I loved to see that almost as much as I love to see the ass kicking Michigan handed out to Penn State a week ago. And yeah, that was, I guess that's all they had to hang their hat on if you're Penn State is, you know, whining about the tunnel. And it seems to work out every single week for just about everyone else. You know, we saw Michigan and Ohio State get fired up last year over it. But hey, when don't those two teams get fired up at one another? So I don't know. It was, you know, everyone kind of dumped on James Franklin for it, and rightfully so. And, you know, just stokes a little bit of fire to the flame as we move through the next couple of years. I'm sure it'll be a nice friendly handshake after next year's Michigan-Penn State game.
Yeah, probably not. These guys, they never really seem to like each other, and they'll continue on that trajectory moving forward. But, yeah, when you lose the way Penn State lost, and then the video, the Penn State team, they're in front of the Michigan team.
Yeah.
Penn State's on that side of the field to where they already have a head start getting to their locker room. Of course, there's one tunnel, two locker rooms right across the little way from each other. So Franklin's calling for a two-minute buffer for one team to go into the locker room, and Michigan – they would never agree to that. That's a couple minutes that Michigan could be in their locker room preparing for the next half. Now, here's what's also interesting is there was another video that showed Michigan and Penn State players walking back to the field from the tunnel after halftime, after the brouhaha. And they're getting along. They're laughing about it. And it wasn't that big of a deal after the fact. Franklin, his voice made it more of an issue. These players from both teams overall got over it by the time the third quarter started. So he should move on, and that's what we're going to do now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I also loved the tossing of the Uncrustables, the PB&Js that yes. were happening.
Yes. Jesus. Yeah, Penn State, they did chuck some of their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Dietitian from Michigan, Abigail O'Connor, she pointed that out. And then actually in a video, the one I've referred to where Franklin can be seen being animated towards the Michigan staff, you see a PBJ projectile in the air being thrown at Michigan players. So that is pretty darn funny. I think it was RJ Moten who said he got hit in the face by one. So that is the worst damage inflicted on a Michigan player all day.
Well, maybe that's why Penn State got their ass kicked so much in the second half, man. They didn't have any energy because they threw their PB&Js instead of eating them.
Yeah, I mean, there's carbs in there. There's sugar, and there's some protein, some peanut oil. It could have maybe led to another field goal or a better punt.
All righty. So the big week is upon us here because as we set it up, you know, this is the team, Michigan State. This is the week and this exact weekend, Halloween weekend, that Michigan suffered their only loss of the regular season last year. Went into Michigan State, held a 16-point lead late in that third quarter. Ultimately, you know, to put it quite frankly, they blew the game. Man, they choked the game away down the stretch. Kenneth Walker was fantastic. There's no question about that with five touchdowns. But Michigan, they had no business losing that game last year. And ultimately, it didn't mean a ton outside of Well, you know, it is a rivalry game. It is for the Paul Bunyan Trophy. Mel Tucker did move to 2-0 against Michigan. It is a little salt in the wound when it's the cross-state rival that does it to you. But, you know, you go into this week, and Michigan is heavy, heavy favorites, you know, almost 3 touchdown favorites against Michigan State. Now, for me personally, that means something, but also in a game like this, it doesn't mean a whole lot because Michigan State is going to come out, and they are going to give you their best shot that they could possibly have. I bet they've been practicing and preparing a little bit every single practice for this exact game. Now, on the flip side of it, Trevor, I do like what I'm hearing out of Michigan, not treating it like any other game because, you know, while that maybe, you know, back in the 2000s, you were able to get away with that against Michigan State, it has evolved into something else where you can no longer treat this game just like any other game because you know that opponent is not treating it like any other game. And this sounds, from what we've heard from the players and the coaches here this week, this really sounds like one they want to get some revenge on Sparty this week.
Yeah, and we can go back to last year as far as what the Michigan State loss did for the Michigan football team. They turned a very, very big negative into a positive. And how's that? Well, when they lost that game to the Spartans, another loss in that season would have knocked Michigan out of any playoff contention. Instead, they dug down and they went on a run. They went to Penn State, got a big win, obviously that huge monumental win at the Big House against Ohio State. My point is they made a choice after that bad day in East Lansing to dig down and try a little harder instead of let that loss define them. Now fast forward to 2022 and October, present day, Jim Harbaugh says that nobody has watched that Michigan State film that lost last season more than the Wolverines. So they're not hiding from that loss. They're not running away from the reality that they blew it last year. The film doesn't lie. Now, we can talk about some penalties that shouldn't have happened. We can talk about an overturn call that should have resulted in a fumble recovery, strip sack, touchdown for the Wolverines. But with those aside, the Wolverines still blew it. And those memories that haunt you sometimes can make you better. And that's the thing, is they're not going to forget what happened last year. Combine that with the talent, right? Because talent matters too. Not just mindset, not just that it's such a huge rivalry that Harbaugh said you can throw the record books out, that old cliche, which is true. What also matters is physicality, which team's more physical. And the Wolverines have been absolutely dominating in the trenches on offense and defense to where it's some premier stuff in college football, what Michigan's been able to accomplish. And can Michigan State, despite all their energy, despite all that emotion of playing in a rivalry game, you know, that adrenaline that can make you get off the snap a little faster, hit a little harder, I still don't think that at the end of it all, that Michigan State has that in them from a physicality standpoint. And we're going to find out. But like you said, Luke, you like what you've been hearing from the Michigan team, as do I. When you hear guys like Donovan Edwards basically say they're ready to dominate. So the mentality going into this game is not just to win a close one, not just, oh, you know, it's going to be a tough one. No, they're looking at that we need to kick these guys in the mouth and make an example out of them. And whether that happens or not, I don't know. But what I do like is the attitude heading into Saturday.
You know what I find interesting that you brought up a great point, Trevor, was what happened following that Michigan State game. And I remember a couple of guys up there, I think it might have been Ryan Hayes, that mentioned, you know, he's either the post-game press conference, I think it was, or it was the Monday press conference, that all of their goals were still ahead of them after that loss. And that really stuck out to me, right? Because it was going to be a big kind of telling point what we saw the rest of the year. And you mentioned going into Penn State after that. That felt like a big turning point. But Cade, if you remember, after that Penn State game, said, you know, in the past years, that was a game that they would have lost, you know, on some of those other teams. But that something happened after that Michigan State game, and it almost seemed like a conscious choice that they were really going to close out games a lot better, and that accumulated on November 27th last year when they went out in the second half and absolutely dominated and ran Ohio State off the field. Like something, it seemed like a switch flipped after that Michigan State game, right? Like with the players, with the leaders on that team, they pretty much said, we're not going to let this happen again. They go out, they run the table the rest of the way through the Big Ten championship and earn themselves a college football playoff berth. And so, you know, you hate to say this because it's a loss to Michigan State and a rival, but ultimately, it feels like you might be able to pinpoint that blown lead against Michigan State might have been the moment, as weird as it is to say, that really turned this program around and they turned the corner.
Yeah, and as bad as things were that night, some people on Twitter definitely, you know, embarrassed a month later, right? Basically that night saying Jim Harbaugh needed to be fired. It's over at Michigan. Done. Toast. And that was wrong. And what I liked about the leadership after that game is they had a players-only meeting, and it had nothing to do with any mistrust or lack of faith in the Michigan coaching staff. It's just good to be player-led sometimes from a leadership standpoint, to where you don't need these older men telling you what to do. And guys like Aiden Hutchinson and guys like Cade McNamara, you know, what they were able to do has had ripple effects not only for last season, but the training this off season and just the mindset now. And I couldn't agree with you more. And some Michigan State people are probably listening to this right now and laughing at what we're saying, right? But it doesn't make it any less true that sometimes a loss in retrospect really can jolt the brain and make it think in a more sunny direction, believe it or not. And
well,
I
think a great example, and I understand Michigan didn't go on to win the national championship. They ultimately last year were not a national championship team. Georgia had, you know, all those first round picks on the defensive side of the football. They were far and away the best team in college football last year. So this isn't apples to apples, but you think back to the Tim Tebow speech when Florida lost to Ole Miss, ran the table, and went and won a national championship. I think it's a perfect example of what you're talking about.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors in life, whether they be big, small, or anywhere in between. And when we keep those bottled up, it can start to affect us in a negative way. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched up with a licensed therapist, and if for some reason that therapist isn't working out for you, you can switch at any time for no additional charge. Get life's challenges off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BlockM to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BlockM.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, I don't remember enough of that other than him kneeling and doing the jump passes at the goal line.
Pretty much. Yeah. After the loss to Ole Miss, you know, he had the speech that no team is going to play as hard as we will play the rest of the year.
Are you saying when he was crying and all that?
Yeah, in the post game presser, yeah. Absolutely. And then they turned that loss into a positive. You know.
Yeah. You know, I'm making fun of Tim Tebow, and he deserves it half the time. But he's a great college football leader. And now, yeah, actually, I do remember that season now. And guess what? Yeah, he was crying. He's vulnerable at that podium, but he wasn't lying.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. A loss can absolutely change a season, and I feel like that happened last year. But I think it's also vaulted them into what they are this year is, all right, so they turned the corner. They beat Ohio State, slayed that dragon, went and won the Big Ten Championship, slayed that dragon, saw how far behind they were against Georgia, and they've come into the season with almost a workmanlike mentality, and they've just been getting the job done. Like, this program, ever since that day, has been a complete 180 of what they were the first 6 years under Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, exactly. And to that point, you just look at some of the things Michigan's accomplished this season so far. The only teams with an average scoring differential above 30 points are Ohio State, Georgia, and then Michigan, who's at plus 30.6. Stuff like that, you know, it's showing that the talent disparity might be widening between Michigan and Michigan State, but it's about going out there on Saturday and proving it, or, you know, these stats really don't mean a damn thing, that J.J. McCarthy has the highest completion percentage in the nation, that Blake Corum's second in rushing yards in the nation and first in touchdowns. You know, there's a bunch of impressive stuff like that. Michigan's, they're plus 214 in cumulative scoring differential, which only trails Ohio State and Georgia. So Michigan, definitely a top-tier team through the first seven games of the year. And you're seeing with Michigan State the exact opposite right now. And they really need to turn around. They need to turn around now. But total offense, 104th. Rushing offense, 116th a year after Kenneth Walker, in my opinion, should have been at New York for Heisman consideration, but that didn't happen. But 116th a year later, just damn. And then Mel Tucker, defensive guru, getting paid a buku bucks for the next decade, 104th in total defense, 111th in passing yards allowed. So just as far as looking at data, right, and doing the sabermetrics of it all, Michigan has Michigan State beat everywhere, and it's not even close. Time possession, Michigan State's at 127th. The only kudos I got to give the Spartans is net punting. They rank first. So we might be seeing a lot of that on Saturday.
Well, I certainly hope so. I would love to see Michigan State's punter out there quite a bit. And, you know, this is it's a favorable matchup, particularly on the ground. You know, a lot of people point to Michigan State in their secondary, and there's no question that it's bad. Gave up 377 yards to Ohio State, 314 to Maryland, 268 to Minnesota, 397 to Washington. But if you go look at the rush defense, that was, you know, ultimately supposed to be a strength of this Michigan State team here this year, as it even was, you know, a year ago. But in Big Ten play, man, I'm looking at it, and the defense gave up 5 yards a carry to Minnesota, 5 yards a carry to Maryland, 5.2 yards a carry to Ohio State, and held Wisconsin to 3.9 yards a carry, but that's still pretty good clip. Wisconsin ran it 39 times for 152 yards. And what does Michigan do best, obviously, is run the football. The number five rush defense of the country came in 2 weeks ago to the Big House. Michigan went absolutely crazy on the ground, rushing for 418 yards and 7.6 yards a carry. So if Michigan State is not able to stop this Michigan ground game, ultimately, there's no real path to victory for Michigan State, barring penalties and turnovers, you know, stalling and turning the ball over to Michigan State, you know that. So, I mean, Michigan is obviously preparing for that here this week, but also on the flip side of that, Michigan State's got to be able to come up with something here in the bye week, and that's one area that I'm looking at. Is Michigan going to be able to run the football? That's a big question that everyone has, but Michigan State's not really been able to stop anyone in Big Ten play on the ground here this year.
Exactly, and it's one of those things that has anybody really bottled up Michigan's rushing attack for four quarters? No.
No.
Sometimes, you know,
Not a single game that Michigan's ran for less than 4 yards a carry.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you could look at maybe a first quarter, a second quarter here where you could say the rushing game stalled momentarily, but it's kind of what Michigan does in the rushing attack. It's death by a thousand cuts to where, okay, well, there was a 2 yard gain here, a 3 yard gain there. But by the time the third quarter rolls around, boom, you're getting these big long plays. So sometimes on a play-to-play basis, you know, okay, what are they doing? And then, you know, people complain that Michigan has a vanilla offense, which is so silly if they actually took time to backtrack and watch right. the film again and all these complex systems of the rushing attack and how guys pull. Brilliance at times. Anyway, the fact of the matter is Michigan has a quarterback now in J.J. McCarthy who hasn't been turning the ball over, mm-hmm. been pretty efficient in for the most part, and the expectation should be that J.J. is going to start landing some of the throws past 20 yards down the field. Now, even if J.J. doesn't do that, Michigan still looks like their team who's going to be able to go very far and make a college football playoff run just by virtue of the rushing attack alone with Blake Corum and now looking pretty darn healthy and pretty darn dangerous, Donovan Edwards, who now they're calling Corum and Edwards lightning and lightning, but I see a little bit of thunder in Edwards, man. He lit a couple dudes up to where the linebackers went back against Penn State. I like what he does in the open field, so they can call it lightning and lightning. We can call it thunder and lightning number two, the sequel or something. But you got to like where Michigan's at offensively overall, even if some people want to complain.
So there is, though, I do believe one of the biggest matchups, Trevor, and something that ultimately was the death knell for Michigan last year in the Michigan State game, right, was red zone efficiency. Michigan is not been top of the line in scoring touchdowns when they get in the red zone. 26 touchdowns and 39 red zone attempts. You'd like that to be quite a bit higher. You know, you want it to be probably around, 70-75%, I'd say, and Michigan is sitting here at about 66.7% on that front. You know, I look at some other teams and they've been fantastic in the red zone. Ohio State in particular, right? They've scored 31 touchdowns and 36 red zone attempts. Like, that's what you're looking to get to. Michigan, not quite there. You know, two-thirds of the time they're scoring touchdowns, which is pretty good, but you need it to be a lot better. You need to score touchdowns. We saw it in the first half of Penn State come back to bite them. Michigan State is first, I believe, in goal line stance here this year, and one of the top teams in keeping opponents out of the end zone when they get into the red zone. So that is a huge matchup here that Michigan's going to move the ball on Michigan State. There's no question about it. But does Michigan put them away with touchdowns, or do they allow them to hang around? And we know this about Michigan State. If they hang around, you give them a path, they have a good chance of taking it and beating you and pulling off the upset.
So it's interesting you're bringing up the cumulative red zone. So you say it's 39 overall for the Wolverines on the season, right?
That's what I'm looking at. Red zone. They've been in the red zone 39 times and scored 26 touchdowns.
So I have McCarthy's, which is a little better, in his six starts anyway. So okay. in JJ's six starts, this is coming from – they give us little goodies throughout the week. So shout out to Dave Abloff and Chad Shepard for taking the – time and energy to give us this information. But anyway, in JJ's six starts, the team has scored in 29 of 32 red zone trips. That's 90.6%. 26 of those 32 red zone trips have been with touchdowns. So things okay. are trending in the right direction there. And I would say that's something that definitely frustrated Michigan fans, and I guess you could say even the Michigan team. You know, you always want to score touchdowns if you can, when you get down into the red zone. Points per drive matter yep. throughout four quarters, throughout a season. But no, touchdowns per drive. How about that? How about touchdowns per drive? So I like where Michigan's at, but you want to get to the Ohio State levels. Would you like to say right. that one again?
Ohio State has had 36 red zone trips. They have scored 31 touchdowns, 17 through the air and 14 on the ground.
Okay, so yeah, JJ's percentage is a little similar to that. Need more of a sample size, of course, against more Big Ten teams, because right or wrong, the non-conference schedule of Michigan's, which I do contend, set up JJ nicely to improve in gradual fashion. But, you know, the Big Ten numbers, I would say, matter more than that. So it's going to be interesting to see what Michigan does in that regard on Saturday. You'd think that Mel Tucker, Michigan State, they're going to have some of their best game plans defensively, their best red zone defense game plans of the season. They're going to throw out the kitchen sink for what's going down against the Wolverines. But, Leah, let's look at what the Spartans have done red zone efficiency-wise on defense. Michigan State is 102nd in red zone defense so far on the season. So definitely some room for improvement there. Actually, they're 80th in red zone defense.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and I don't have – so they have allowed – that is – that's rushing defense. I tried to go to red zone defense here. I'm on the NCAA site, and I had it. There's red zone defense.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, now I can go and find Michigan State. Cause I want to see – I saw they were number one in goal line stands here this year, but that's, you know, kind of when you get inside the five. As it turns out for Michigan State, in the sense of – defense. So they've allowed 18 touchdowns in 27 red zone attempts. So that they pretty much, it's a 66.7% clip that they allow touchdowns, which is exactly what Michigan is scoring here. So that's really not that bad, you know, when you take a look at it.
Yeah, not bad. I guess we're going to find out, but it's always one of the things, like, if you gave me asked me for a scoring prediction, I really don't have one. And it's just by the nature of this rivalry, right? It always goes back to that, too. Sometimes guys on this Spartans team, man, they play the game of their lives like it's their damn Super Bowl. And it's not that Michigan players don't take it to that degree, but there's a certain fervor and East Lansing that there isn't in Ann Arbor about it. They definitely are foaming at the mouth a little more in East Lansing about it. I would like to think they'd even agree with that.
Yeah, man. So Michigan got to go out there, got to score some touchdowns. Like we said, they're going to be able to move the football, right? Another area, let me ask you about this here, is the fact that, well, not only are we going to see Michigan State, excuse me, off of bye week, in the past, you know, when it was like D'Antonio's team, they were terrifying to play off a bye, right? Because you know that there was going to be trick plays galore. It was going to be special stuff that they were going to be putting out there for you. We don't know if Mel Tucker's going to be that way. But Jaden Reed poses a bit of an issue, I think, for the defense. You know, DJ Turner's been good in coverage, but he's allowed he's gotten beat a few times, you know, and Jaden Reed is fantastic at going up on those 50-50 balls. So I wonder if we're going to see that. I wonder if Michigan State's going to kind of abandon the run and just throw up some jump balls at Jaden Reed here this week.
I think they will. They've definitely thrown enough this year to say that they've actually been a little bit reckless at times, yeah. Throwing down the field. I mean, Peyton Thorne, 11 touchdowns on the year, 7 interceptions. So the key to me about that is a good front 7 can always protect the vulnerabilities of a secondary. Even if it's a good secondary, a player can get beat if there's no pass rush getting home, right? So no matter what happens with the secondary, you got to have guys like Mike Morris, Iyabi Oki, and that whole damn rotation that it seems like everybody gets a sack. You get a sack, you get a sack, you get a car, you get a car. You know, it's like the Oprah thing. But anyway, I think that's a key, man, because Thorne to this point on the season, he's been sacked 12 times. So as long as you can rattle him, and he is a guy who can move. He has functional mobility. He can get out of the pocket. He might have just 13 yards rushing on the season, but his legs are a little better than that stat may indicate because, as you know, each sack takes away rushing yards. So his 12 sacks have equated in 98 yards lost. So, yeah, Thorne could easily have over 100 yards rushing on this season, but I do expect him to get sacked, to have some quarterback hits where he gets some balls off, and I do expect him to throw into double coverage and at least have a couple interceptions on the day. The last time I predicted a opposing team's quarterback to have a couple interceptions was earlier this year when Maryland came to Ann Arbor and Talia Tagovailoa threw a couple. So that's my prediction once again.
I love it.
I'm right once again.
Manifesting it. I want to let you know Brewcast is thanks to our friends over at Manscaped as we hit the fall season. It is fresh ball fall, and Manscaped wants to help you out. They are here to make sure, you know, that your foliage isn't the only thing shedding its excess leaves. So join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. We're going to help you out. You got to try this Platinum Package 4.0. It's everything in the Performance Package, plus some shower goodies to help you out, as well with Premium Body Wash, Ultra Premium, Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner. The aluminum-free ultra-premium deodorant, which is pretty nice as well. So get yourself that Platinum Package 4.0, and we're going to give you 20% off and free shipping. All you have to do is get to manscaped.com, enter the promo code MNB20, that's MNB20, for your 20% off and free shipping with the Platinum Package 4.0, all at manscaped.com. So we head into Michigan State here on Saturday. Very much looking forward to it. And hopefully Paul is returning home to Ann Arbor come Sunday morning, since this is going to be a night game, which I'm not too thrilled about. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time to get into that. So as we get ready to say goodbye, Trevor, where can we find you on social media, my man?
Follow me on Twitter at WoodsFootball and follow your work, our work on MasonBrew.com.
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Ghiardi, LukeGhiardi. You can also follow the Maze and Brew page at Maze and Brew. And we've got a lot of great shows coming up for you here this week. A lot of great articles on the site. It's going to be a big week. Hope you're going to be enjoying all the content that's put out. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. We love to hear from you as always, and we appreciate your support. So for Trevor Woods, I'm Luke Ghiardi, and we will see you next week on Brewcast.